What if the state claimed ownership of your land, your business, or even your future, and told you that you'd own nothing and be happy? Scripture says something very different. The earth is the Lord's, and we are stewards, not slaves of the state or idols of the market. In this Socialism Saturday, we expose why both radical socialism and godless capitalism miss the mark, and why a biblical worldview of property changes everything. Stay with me as we confront the lies of Democrat socialism and call believers back to repentance and true stewardship. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we're going to dive into a new series on Saturdays. It's called Socialism Saturdays, and we're going to explore socialism, capitalism, and a biblical worldview and see kind of where do these ideas, these isms line up. Are they biblical? Are they not biblical? And that kind of thing. So, by faith, I know this is our first one. If you're going to enjoy this, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. So today we're going to talk about God owning stuff, man owning stuff, or the abolition of private property. And so I want you to think about this. We need to have a biblical worldview of property. And when a system says we'll abolish private property and make everything belong to we the people, it can sound very compassionate and fair. But what happens when the state begins to function as the ultimate owner of your land, your business, and even your future? So today we're going to discuss what scripture insists that God, not the state, is the true owner and why that changes how we view socialism and capitalism. This is very important. We're going to poke the bear at both sides. I noticed that all across our state and the United States of America, many are claiming to be democratic socialism and they hold up their fist as if they're giving it to the man. And I just want to see if that's a biblical worldview. So we're going to explore that together. So let's make some couple definitions here. So socialism, from the Communist Manifesto principle, it's the abolition of private property in the means of production. Capital is to become common property of all members of society. So the old saying is, you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy, right? So that's, you know, they abolish all private property and the state is now the owner of that property and gets to decide the winners, the losers, and everything in between. It really does demoralize people to a certain degree. The capitalist principle that we were going to look at is private property is a fundamental right. Individuals may own, invest, and profit from their capital, and markets allocate resources. So we believe in free markets. You know, we also believe in the fact that you can have intellectual property and you can have physical property and you can have creative property and you can have technological property. All these kind of things are there, but the market allocates the resources, okay? So, but there is a downfall to capitalism to a certain degree. The answer is not socialism, by the way. The answer is repentance in Jesus Christ. But the biblical principle is this: God is the ultimate owner of all things, and humans are stewards who may hold property, but must not steal or covet other people's property. That's the biblical worldview. So I just laid out the socialism worldview that government owns everything, you own nothing, and you got to be happy about that. The capitalist worldview is that it's a free market enterprise, and the market determines the value. And then we also look at the biblical worldview. God owns everything and we're stewards of the stuff, all the stuff. So let's look at Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. He who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in the holy places." So Psalm 24, 1 clearly lays out the earth is the Lord's. God is the ultimate owner, creator, and of all things, and all it contains belong to God. And that's why we say you need to enter into the public square, not as one who is worshiping government, but really as one who is worshiping God, and that you are a steward of the things of God. So let's look at one more verse, and then we'll keep going through these ideas of socialism, capitalism. It goes into Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. So it says, let me get there, Colossians 1, 16, for by him, God, all things were created. That might be Jesus. For by Jesus, all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. So he's the he created all things, visible and invisible. He's the owner of them. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And this is why we like to say, listen, you got to steward the public square in a way that honors and glorifies God. And what is the greatest commandments that God has given us? Love God and love others. Not steal from God and steal from others, not reallocate from God and, you know, no, love God and love others. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So God is the owner by virtue of creation. Everything exists through him and for him. Human beings are the stewards of what God entrusts, not absolute owners. And that's where we need to understand. The most extreme of socialism is that the government owns everything, and you're going to own nothing. The most extreme of capitalism is that the individual is the only owner and has no view of God. Both of them are absent of a biblical worldview. Why? Because God is the owner and we're simply stewards of those things. So when I go on the Democratic Socialist of America website here, and it says, imagine taking a day off from work in a future without capitalism. Well, okay. It might not feel as badly needed as it does now. You enjoy your work. It's interesting to you, and you're well-trained for it. You work as much as you are able and no more than needed, and you would control your own labor and see it going to good use. It's not just a job to pay the bills. Well, this is the problem with democratic socialists. Some of us enjoy doing whatever we do, doing our work heartily as unto the Lord. See, I'm not working as a capitalist. I'm not working, doing my work heartily as unto my boss or my employer or those things. Anything I do, I want to do it as unto the Lord and do that work as a joy unto the Lord. And this is saying, hey, we're going to redo those things. So thinking about this, any worldview that relocates ownership from God to the state replaces a personal righteous owner with a fallible human institution is out of line with a biblical worldview. In other words, you can't say, well, you can say, you shouldn't say, maybe there we go, is better. Well, I'm a Christian and I am a democratic socialist. And you say, why? Because it's contrary to a biblical worldview. The Bible says you have the right to own property. As a capitalist, you shouldn't say, hey, I own this. God, keep out. I'm going to do it however I want. No, those are both the wrong end of the stick. We believe in capitalism and free markets, but we believe that in the context that God is the owner and that the human is only the steward of that ownership. So when we steward things, we love our neighbors as ourselves. So there are some pitfalls to socialism. From the Communist Manifesto, the theory of the communists may be summed up in a single sentence. It's the abolition of private property. And what does that mean? Property in land, inheritance, and capital are targeted to be abolished and confiscated. That is what it means. And the state or community becomes the ultimate holder of all property, shifting functional ownership from individuals under God to planners under law. And we're seeing this in Washington state right now. This is what the income tax is about. It's reallocating someone's property, wealth, to someone who doesn't have wealth. That is not the government's role, period. I don't know how else to say it. Also, if you're the one who has wealth, out of your own love relationship with Christ, you should be willing to be benevolent with that wealth, right? I mean, and I'm trying to show both sides of this. It's not just, you know, hardcore, let's just get, you know, go capitalism and we never take care of anyone around us. It is socialism and Democrat socialism is contrary to the word of God. I don't know how else to say it. Period. There's no room for it. Capitalism is found in the Bible, but we also know we don't want to have an idol of capitalism where we believe that we're the owner. When private property is abolished, stewardship is severed from responsibility. When you remove it, when you say, hey, you're just going to do this and that and the other thing, you're going to own nothing and be happy, your stewardship is removed. The line between God and trust and state control disappears, inviting trust in human structures rather than in the Lord. So there are some historic facts and examples, and I would challenge us. People usually bring up Norway, or they bring up these other areas that have a foundation of capitalism at it. They typically have social, like medical areas of socialism, but then they have capitalism as the foundation for their systems. But where socialism has been tried completely, and collectivism in this sort, it's never worked. Never worked ever. If you can find one place where socialism has worked and has no elements of capitalism, show it to me. You're not going to find it. I mean, but if you do, put it in the post. That'd be great. But we understand that the government in the former Soviet Union did a collectivist approach to farms and seizing land. And what do we end up? We ended up with a famine in the 1930s because people became personally not responsible. They were not stewards. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, God said, cultivate and keep the land. In Mao's China, state control over land and production during the Great Leap Forward led to tens of millions of deaths. More recently, in Venezuela's aggressive nationalization of industry and property rights, collapse has produced severe shortages and mass immigration. So let's look at capitalism. There are a couple dangers to capitalism. Capitalism affirms private property rights and voluntary exchange, which can reflect stewardship pattern that God talks about in his word. But one of the things, if it's got taken too far, where it's my property and it's all about the owner, we understand that that can become an idol. Protecting property encourages productivity, long-term planning, and generosity because people know they can steward what they've received. The danger is if capitalism can turn property into an idol where ownership is used for greed, exploitation, or neglect of the poor. Now, I've heard many people say, well, look at all these rich people. Look at Elon Musk. Look at all, I got to tell you something. And I don't know Elon Musk's, how he handles his benevolence or how many employees he has and whether he feels like he's underpaid. A capitalist should look at industry standard of payment and pay a fair wage and pay it without taking advantage or exploiting people. If you want to be have a biblical worldview, that's what we see. And we would move away from my property, my rules. We would say it's God's property, it's God's rules, and I'm going to honor and glorify him as I go. So I just want to be clear. We reject socialism and the abolition of private property and also warn against capitalism, that's temptation to worship property instead of worshiping God. The biblical worldview, you have to ask yourself, who owns my life, my resources, and my ministry, or my calling, or my work? Who owns it? If you want to have a biblical worldview, you're going to say God owns it. God owns it, and you're simply the steward. The state is limited to, punishing evil and protecting the innocent. And so thinking about those things, here's a couple application questions. Do I see my income, house, car, and time as God's resources entrusted to me? Or do I see them as they're just mine? That's really important. Am I tempted to trust the state or the market more than God as my provider? And I would encourage you, follow after the things of God. Follow after the things of God. Today, list the main resources God has entrusted to you. Pray over those lists and ask that you would be a person who stewards those for the glory of Almighty God, removing all selfishness or victimhood, or that you are going to depend on the state in any way. All right, so let's close in prayer. This is our first Socialism Saturday. If you're enjoying this, I would encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Heavenly Father, we know that socialism and Democrat socialism is not found anywhere in the Word of God. God, we recognize and repent of areas of capitalism where we have exploited people or we have tried to make property our own or our idol. God, we turn back to you, the living God, and ask that you will direct us, you'll move in front of us, around us, shape us. God, you are so, so very good to us. And so, Lord, we repent of our idols. We ask that you tear them down in our hearts. And we recognize, God, as the psalmist says, that you own all the earth and everything in it that it contains. You are the owner. We are simply stewards of resources, of time, talents, and treasures that you've entrusted to us. God, we pray over Olympia. We repent of redistribution of wealth. We repent of sectioning out a certain people group and taxing them higher. We repent of overtaxation through gas taxes and overregulation through the housing market. God, we ask that you would bring balanced scales back to Olympia, that they would get back to the basics of punishing evil and protecting the innocent, and that they would lay down, God, this idea that they can be God. Lord, we just repent of that. Lord, we pray for Bob Ferguson's salvation. We pray for President Trump's salvation. We pray for our House reps and all the Democrats and Republicans' salvation. Lord, we pray for the salvation in the church. Let it flow into the hearts and the minds, that we would take the free gift of grace and by faith apply it to our hearts. So we turn to you, the living God, and we ask for help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.